Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today, we're going to talk about the whistleblower. That's right, David Grusch. We did a first part episode already where we basically looked at some of the short clips and claims that were made. We pointed out some of the strange connections between the intelligence agencies, the UFOs, and the occult. And today, we're going to get into the actual interview that aired Sunday night, June 11th, on News Nation. I brought clips, too. I brought the clips. We're going to talk about statements that, I don't know, does nobody care? Does nobody care? We're going to talk about some statements nobody seems to be talking about. From claims of Majestic 12 to quantum physics and connections to other dimensions, 5D, all right? You ready for the 5D matrix ascension? As well as, we'll take a real brief look at the Las Vegas alien. That thing is pretty interesting. Pretty interesting topic there, so I'm going to throw that in, because in part one we talked about it just real briefly. Now, before we get into it, quick housekeeping. I'm going to plug my man Tony's show, The Confessionals, which is very apropos. If you're into all the aliens and the paranormal, Sasquatchy stuff, tales of satanic cults out in the desert, you got to listen to a big show. His biggest show ever is going to be with your boy, Isaac Weishaupt. That's right. I did an episode of The Confessionals. I believe I talked to my man Tony. Great dude, by the way. We get along like gangbusters. I think he was saying he's dropping the episode in June. By the end of June, don't quote me on that. It's coming soon. I know that much. And it's going to be fascinating. I'll be dropping bombs like Metatron, okay? We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff that connects all of the things he's looking at with all the things I'm looking at. It's the mega powers coming together. The Macho Man, Randy Savage, and the Hulkster coming together, and we're blowing minds. That one's going to be a huge show. A lot of people are going to be really interested in how all these things connect, and I want you to enjoy it. So follow him on all the socials. You know where his show is bigger than mine, The Confessionals. You're going to love it, especially if you like the scary ghost story stuff. That's your jam, because he interviewed people all the time. I listened to this one episode. Shout out Demi, by the way. I listened to this one episode about this guy who went out in Palm Springs out in the desert, the Mojave Desert. And we cover a little bit about that, okay? It's going to be good. It's going to be epic, as they say. Then, update for the people trying to get in the Grey Lodge. I see lots of people signing up. Thank you so much. I'm very humbled. If you're signing up for the supporter feeds to get in the Grey Lodge, because we're going to start doing, not only are you going to get the ad-free version of the podcast, you're going to get all the bonus episodes we've already done. You're going to also get a bonus episode every month, like I promise you. You're also now going to get bonus episodes of Twin Peaks stuff. That's right. We're going through Twin Peaks. Now, you're probably wondering, Isaac, what's taking you so damn long? We already did the primer. The next episode we're going to do, we're going to go through the cast and crew of season 1 and 2. All right. I've been trying to wrap my mind around how to do this, right? In engineering, they say, hey, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. That's what we're dealing with here, folks. And I'm trying to figure out how to make this work so that it makes sense. And what we're going to do, we're going to tackle season 1 and 2, then the film Fire Walk With Me, then season 3. That's a whole different beast, right? So we're going to do it in that, and then we're going to do the book somewhere in there. We're going to do side topics about Jack Parsons and, all kinds of crazy stuff. It's going to take a really long time. But you and I are both going to learn a lot in the process. Theosophy, Dion Fortune, Helena Blavatsky, Black Lodge, White Lodge. You're going to the Grey Lodge. But that's the next episode we're going to do. I'm hoping to do it next week. I've been trying to figure out, because I'm trying to make sense of this, right? I think what I have to do is I'm going to drop the bonus shows on the feeds like I normally do. And I think what I'd like to do when we get through the whole project after a year, 2 years, I don't even know. This is going to take forever. I want to write a book. That's the fantasy, okay? That's the plan. Don't hold me to it. I'm going to try to write a book compiling all the ideas that we're talking about. And once I release the book, I am going to drop all these episodes on a free feed. I'm going to start a whole different podcast feed for this show. That's what I'm thinking. So that's what I'm trying to make sense of how I'm going to make this work. So bear with me. An episode is coming very soon. And then it's going to be on and popping, and we're firing right through it, okay? All right. And one last plug. If you're into aliens and UFOs, because that's why you're listening to this show, I wrote two books on it. Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, featured on Coast to Coast AM, right? Featured on Chris Jericho's great podcast, Talk is Jericho. And, of course, featured on Tinfoil Hat, okay? And those books sum the whole thing up. And so far, I feel like it's a pretty good summation of what's going on. And it is almost proven correctly by this interview by David Grish. We'll get into that, okay? We're going to get right into it. Got to slam my window. It's getting too loud out in suburban hell. Okay. That's right. No air conditioning for me, folks. I told you last week I'm eating the Cinnamon Toasters Malto meal. We're also not turning the air conditioner on, not till it gets above 95 degrees. All right. Oh, and then also another, if you're trying to, you got the month of June, and of course I'm going to let it bleed into a little bit of July, but you got the month of June to use promo code Cherry Pie, all one word, to get into the Grey Lodge, but that's only in the VIP section. Some people got confused about that. I can't offer coupon codes with Patreon or Rockfin. I can only, or Apple Premium. Those are all your supporter feeds. Only at IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the VIP tab, scroll all the way to the bottom. That's where you punch in the code, and you can get in for $2 for that first month. Then it goes up to $5 a month, okay? Just want to be clear. I even had one guy sign up for the $100 a tier month, and I was like, all right, look at this. Look at this big baller. I said, hey, buddy, what do you want? Because I send him signed books if you're the mega baller bucks like that. And he's like, oops, that was a mistake. I didn't mean to do that. Oh, come on, pal. Nah, just kidding. So I refunded the money, and hopefully it works out. If you're that guy, hit me up if you didn't get it figured out yet. So, okay, moving on. Let's talk about David Grish here, all right? First, you'll notice the first thing out of his dirty mouth. I'm just kidding. I don't know if he's got a dirty mouth. I have my suspicions, and I'm going to give them to you in the conclusion. The first thing he offered up, and he's my Air Force brethren, so I got to be careful. All right? like there can't be crooks in the Air Force. Come on. First up, he offered up a redefinition. All right? I'm going to frame this whole interview for my perspective, studying all this, writing two books. An expert here. I've been on Coast to Coast. They don't let schlubs on there. The first stage of propaganda is to redefine terms. Names, words, terms. The spoken word is power, right? There's meaning to all this, especially in occult magic. Because in my first alien book, Use Your Illusion 1, I talked about how, isn't it interesting, they're redefining the term. Now it's UAP. Instead of UFO, because UFO is too much stigma because they spent 60, 70 years pushing disinformation to make it look like crazy people were into this stuff. So now, and this is the big question, like, why all of a sudden are we getting flooded with these messages saying the other, right? So now apparently we're using this term NHI, non-human intelligence, instead of the term aliens. It's real subtle. It's not an official declaration, but I promise you that's what's happening next. We redefined the UFO as a UAP. Now we're going to redefine aliens as NHI. Maybe to humanize it, maybe to change the perspective of what this phenomenon is, which is what I think is going on. But take a listen to how they address this.
I would couch it as non-human intelligence, you know, NHI, like we would like to say in our language.
Why do you say that? Why do you say NHI?
I don't want to necessarily denote origin. I don't think we have all the data to say, oh, they're coming from a certain location, and I couch it as somebody who studied physics, where maybe they're coming from a different physical dimension, as described in quantum mechanics. We know there's extra dimensions due to high energy particle collisions, etc. And there's a theoretical framework to explain that. Yeah.
Just let me cut to the quick, though. Mm-hmm. You're saying there is an intelligent species engaging with this planet?
Yes, that's potentially extraterrestrial, yeah.
He says it's NHI because we don't know the origin. Okay, that's fair. And he takes it, and also I should mention that it's getting away from the term extraterrestrial, which means there's another planet, a rock out there where these things live. And that's not really what he's saying they are, which is exactly what I'm saying in Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. All right? It's also what Alex Jones said. Interdimensional, blood-drinking, Satan-worshipping, Hillary Clinton voters. what about how he talked about, immediately he talked about how this is related to physics. Immediately he took it there. These things don't come from another planet. They come from a different dimension. All right? So he's clear in saying that potentially they're extraterrestrial, but more than likely they're interdimensional. That's what he's trying to say. Now, people like you and I, we've read this, we've studied this stuff, we know all about it, right? Well, imagine how many millions of mouth-breathing normies out there who have no idea what we're talking about. Try to get them to understand this. That's why they got to spoon-feed this to you, right? It can't just be all at once. They can't just have the president come out and say, okay, everybody, I've done a little research. Turns out we've got interdimensional beings that pop in and out of our realities based upon certain principles that we're yet to determine. What? Like, people couldn't handle that, right? I couldn't. You know what I mean? And I know what I kind of think I know what he's talking about. But more interestingly yet, he talks about how these things come in and out of a dimension, and he suggests due to high energy particle collisions. Now, isn't that fascinating? Doesn't that make you think of CERN with the Large Hadron Collider? That's a high energy particle collider. Doesn't that make you think of dropping the atomic bomb? Nuclear fusion, nuclear fission, which I guess is breaking apart versus putting together, but whatever. I'm not that nerdy, but I kind of know what he's saying, okay? Next clip. He is going to talk to you about how, again, maybe they're not traveling from another planet. Maybe they're not going through space. And about how there are, in fact, extra dimensions where linear time is just a physical dimension, which, as I understood it, we actually live in four dimensions when you consider time a dimension. You've got the space-time fabric, okay? An actual location is your three dimensions, but then time would also be your fourth dimension. So we're already in a fourth dimension. So we're talking about going into the fifth dimension, all right? Some other element. And there's lots of good examples to explain this. I'm sure if you YouTube it, I think even Interstellar had a good example, or Event Horizon, I think, had a good example. When they try to explain what a wormhole is kind of what I think they're talking about here. But he's talking about these NHIs, they're aliens. He's talking about the aliens coming from the 5D, from the fifth dimension, another dimension. And it's fascinating because the interview doesn't even bite on it. Take a listen.
Even if you call them NHI and UAP, how could such NHI travel to Earth in the first place and go undetected by the general public? Grush says the craft may not be traveling through space as we understand it.
It is a well-established fact, at least mathematically and based on empirical observation and analysis, that there most likely are physical additional spatial dimensions. You could imagine on 4 and 5D space, where what we experience as linear time ends up being a physical dimension for, in higher dimensional space, where if you were living there, you could translate across what we perceive as a linear flow. So there is a possibility that, and it, this is a theory here, I'm not saying this is 100% the case, but it could be that this is not necessarily extraterrestrial, and it's actually coming from a higher dimensional physical space that might be co-located, you know, right here.
You see how the interviewer just kind of moved along. I don't know the interviewer, this Ross guy. Sounds like he's pretty plugged into the alien, the phenomenon, we call it now. So I'm surprised he didn't go further into that, but maybe he also was, either it kind of was too mind-blowing for him, which I don't know if I believe that. I kind of think he knows better, or he's probably thinking like, hey, the audience is going to be like, bro, this guy's crazy. You talk about five dimensions and stuff. But you got to understand, in the world of science and physics, quantum physics, they're looking at string theory ideas that there's 11, 12 dimensions. And why is that so crazy? Just because we can't sense it? We're talking about higher levels of abstraction. And it's a concept. It's like if you told someone that X-rays existed, they'd be like, no, back in, 1500s, they would be like, no, what are you talking about? But now they got machines and they can show you. They'd be like, look, see? Oh, okay. Now, I'm explaining science to you. Like, you don't know. You already know. But he's talking about how, in the interview, he talks about how, of course, there's a small percentage of these craft that would crash. Now, I always take exception to this. I always think, man, if this is such an advanced technology that they're truly coming from either another planet or popping in and out of dimensional realities, how are these idiots crashing the damn planes? Like, that's the part I just don't get. And he suggests it's a very small percentage. I have a hard time believing it. I'm not saying that's not possible, but it is a question that I always go back to. But let's just roll with it, right? They talk about, again, the idea of UFOs shutting down nuclear sites. Something we've heard many times, and it's apparently gone. Apparently, it's a pretty legit thing, right? People getting injured, investigating these things sometimes. But most interestingly, he claims that the Roswell reports that we've heard for so long, debunking Roswell, is all a sophisticated disinformation campaign. Fake news, because it's all real. That's what he's saying. He critiques the Department of Defense because he says they've got tons more videos of UAP that they could be releasing, but they're not. I mean, he's throwing some pretty bold accusations right now, okay? Interestingly, he says some of them are extremely large, the size of a football field, and says they've got very credible witnesses that can confirm this. I've got a very credible witness that can confirm it, too. One of my friends. He's seen one. He was just telling me about it probably 2 weeks before I seen his interview. Talking about how he was driving down the road and this massive craft at night was moving the clouds like just as fast as he saw it, it disappeared again. And he's not into any of this stuff. He's not trying to find UFOs. He's very mainstream guy. He's not into wacky stuff. Like, I'm looking for this stuff. I'm constantly on the lookout. That's how I saw a bird frozen in the sky. Let's see. What else did he talk about? Oh, he claims that the private contractors are storing the craft, which is very slick, because he's saying that the government owns these crashed UFOs, and it loans the craft to private contractors for them to do analysis and reverse engineering and stuff. That's what Bob Lazar, I think he worked for a defense contractor that was trying to reverse engineer the propulsion system, if I recall. And he says this is very unethical because it basically gives all the, technology rights to the company when really it should be taxpayer government stuff. because he's claiming that what these companies want to do is they want to reverse engineer it, sell that technology back to the government, which is a thing that happens, right? That's what the a lot of the health stuff, we won't use terms here, but a lot of the health stuff, hell, a lot of projects, even Google, maybe that's a bad example, because you get, it's not really a direct black and white example, but some companies get funded as, you know, through the government, through various, I don't know, funding sources for small businesses and things, and then they blow up, and, you know, the government never gets their slice back, they never get their cut back, and I think that's what he's saying he thinks is happening here. I don't know which contractor, he didn't say. Then they ask him about Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick. He was the, or is the, I should say, director of Arrow. That's the new UAP task force. And he claimed that that Grush is fake news. He says there's no credible evidence of any ET technology. Doesn't exist. And the interviewer, Ross, asked Grush about that. And he's like, oh, I know him. I know Sean Kirkpatrick. I told him all those things, and he never followed back up with me. So he's kind of saying the head of the UAP investigations is also part of the disinformation campaign, is what it seemed like. And now we get real interesting. Are the aliens good guys or bad guys? He flat out asked him, are these things benevolent? Are they malevolent? Are they good or are they evil? And Grush says, there's a logical fallacy in assuming that these things are so advanced and so evolved that they're so woke that they would also be kind and nice towards humanity. Take a listen.
The common interpretation from some commentators is that there is a non-human species and it's incredibly benevolently well disposed to the human race.
Yeah, and I think that is the logical fallacy there is because they're advanced, they're kind. We'll never really understand full intent in that because we're not them, whatever them is or are. But I think what appears to be malevolent activity has happened based on not only nuclear site probing activities, witness testimony. I think at least if we look at it through a humanistic lens, it does appear negative, at least to us.
I've been told that there have been attempts to bring down craft, that we've acted offensively against non-human craft.
There have been instances, and there are certain techniques.
Have human beings been hurt or killed by a non-human intelligence?
While I can't get into the specifics because that would reveal certain U.S. classified operations, I was briefed by a few individuals on the program that there were malevolent events like that.
Now I'm scared. People have just heard you say non-humans may well have murdered human beings.
That seems to be the case at one point, yeah.
He's saying bad things have happened. Probing the nuclear weapons. There's witness testimonies of some of this stuff. And he's saying, like, from a human perspective, yeah, it's bad stuff there. And we're going to talk about the agreement here soon. But if you believe in the agreement theory about how we've made agreements with the aliens to let them abduct humans and conduct, you know, crazy experimentations like Travis Walton, and worse yet, the aliens have killed some humans. That's what he's claiming. All right. Now, what's interesting is if you look at Dr. Stephen Greer, another prominent ufologist we've talked about here on this show many times, he is of a different camp. He says, look, there's these forces out here trying to make the aliens seem like these evil baddies that we need to build a monster weapon system. He's like, and it's all fake news. They're friendly. Like Casper the Friendly Ghost. And I, and look, call me an old school hippie wokester, granola wokester, but I want to believe that they're not mean. But I think it's possible they could be good or evil. It's like angels and demons, right? That's the best perspective I think that would actually fit with this scenario. Could go either way. We don't have the discernment to know. I don't know what the answer is, but I do see how there could be. I mean, if you go to this Project Bluebeam stuff, this idea that first they got to make a threat so that we create a global New World Order, global government thing, right? That's the big scary thing that every conspiracy theorist talks about. Global government, all right? Now, I don't know what, and here's my, to put on my normie hat, I think, why couldn't it just be like a UN thing? We're all different nations with our different laws and everyone stays separate. But there's this one element where we all band together to study UAPs or whatever, right? He claims that other, and again, he's sort of pumping the fear-based narrative. Well, not sort of. I mean, he's saying, yeah, these things kill people is what he's saying. But he also says how our enemy, America's enemies, Russia and China, they've got their own crash retrieval programs, which I'm sure they do, right? He's like, look, they're going to weaponize the technology, and whoever weaponizes the technology first, it's a wrap. Trying to make it scary, right? And, I mean, maybe he's right. I don't know. We would be naive to think there aren't other countries out there that would love nothing more than to put America in its place, right? Then they talk about this idea, you know, Ross did a pretty good job. He's talking about, okay, if these things are advanced and they're evil, they're malevolent, why haven't they destroyed us yet? Great question. Let's see what he says.
Grush has written an internal document about his discoveries that refers to agreements that risk putting our future in jeopardy.
And it's quite clear that you're talking about agreements between America and non-human intelligences. Have we made agreements with non-human intelligences?
That's the kind of information I really hope national leadership is able to get to the bottom of.
I need to pin you down on this. Are there agreements between non-human intelligences and the American government?
I think that's a question that I would like to know all the details of as well.
We do know of at least one agreement among humans that's worth noting. This 1971 agreement between the US and the USSR on measures to reduce the risk of nuclear war. Whether or not you believe Dave Grush, this document proves the two superpowers were aware that UAP existed, whatever they were.
If you look at Article 3 of that treaty, it talks about unidentified objects near nuclear facilities or interfering with communications. And that is a treaty that has been used, from what I understand, to notify each other if there's a concerning event.
And that's a way of saying to the Russians, hey, don't shoot at us. It's not us.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a concern because of the secrecy. There is an environment where you could have almost like a false flag, where true non-prosaic UAP situation could be contrived as, you know, a provocation of something from a nation state, and we want to de-escalate that.
There's been an agreement. Oh, my goodness, and Grush doesn't like it one bit. Gets a little fuzzy about it. And the TV show, the News Nation show, it points out how there was an agreement in 1971 between the United States and the USSR to reduce nuclear war. I think he's talking about the START Treaty. I could be wrong. But they're tying it into ideas about UFOs. And Grush says that Article 3 in the agreement talks about UFOs being near the nuclear facility because they're supposed to have open communication with each other so that, you know, we don't see a UFO coming near the nuclear facility and say, oh my God, it's the Russians, nuke them quick, and vice versa. And he says it right there. He says, you could have a false flag. All right. Because that's actual things that happen, not just conspiracy theory. They ask him if people have been killed to keep these secrets. He says, yeah, probably. Very X-Files-ish. Then, and this is a topic we covered on the first episode, News Nation, they basically looked into Grush's character and they said, he's legit. I mean, he's what he says he is, intelligence officer for the U.S. Air Force, involved with all these UAP task force. They even go down his path to ask if he's got mental illness or psychosis. He's like, nah, bro. They ask him what he thinks about all of this just being more disinformation. And he claims that he's been thinking about this for years before filing the whistleblower report. And he convinced himself, based on the credentialed people that came to him with these sensitive program documents. And I have so many questions at this point, right? And I think that George Knapp and Jeremy Corbell just released an episode of their podcast. I haven't listened to it yet. I guess they knew this guy too for years, I think is what they were saying on the promo. I got to listen to it yet. But, you know, we're wrapping up the interview here and I'm like, okay, it's such a dangerous secret that people are dying. Why are people talking about it now? Why are all these credentialed people going to this one guy? I don't know how big of a circle these people run in. All I can think of is Bill Cooper, who wondered often if he wasn't the subject of feeding disinformation so that he would repeat it. He was worried that that was a thing. And that's what I'm thinking about this guy. Maybe he is telling the truth, but maybe it's part of a higher level psyop. It's hard to know, right? They ask him stuff like, well, why hasn't this leaked before? And he says, there's a lot of secrets that haven't come out already. But he reiterates the idea that the government disinformation campaign is what kept this thing in the dark so long, because they made it seem like if you came out and talked about this, you were a wacky tinfoil nutter, okay? What's the change to push for here, okay? Because they kind of ask him that stuff. He wants the technology shared so that the world can benefit from the technology, not just one private corporation or whatever, right? He compares it to nukes. He says, we can share the science of nuclear technology and not share a blueprint for how to make a nuclear warhead. That's a fair comparison. Then he says something that makes me question him. He says he's starting a scientific foundation. Glosses over it real quick. I don't know what... I'd like to learn more about this, okay? It makes me think, is this a To the Stars Academy cash grab? He's asked what the NHIs will think of all this. And he makes the good point that NHIs have seen us do a whole lot of awful stuff. If aliens are watching the human race, they've seen it all, man. They've seen all the nasty little reality shows and all the nasty little things we've done to each other. So he makes the claim. He says, apparently they're neutral on us having our own free will. Except for when it comes to the nukes. I think that's where they draw the line. Apparently, that's what they say. And they wrap it up and he's kind of like, look, I don't think that this is going to be a utopia solution. But what he's saying does support the idea of putting into a perspective of us all, because he does mention this, right? He's like, it makes us all, it gives us perspective to say, look, we're all one human race, okay? And maybe that would make the world a better place if people stopped seeing all this division of us versus them, when it's like, no, we're all in this together, man. All these different countries, we all have something in common. And you would think that just naturally that's how human beings would be, but we're not. So you introduced an enemy, okay? Then we got a wrap-up show. I watched the wrap-up show, and apparently the Congress says they're going to have a hearing about this whistleblower and this topic, so that's good to hear. Then Ross himself is interviewed. Apparently he's been researching this topic for years. He believes Grush. he was introduced by Grush to Grush by people who are part of all these programs that he knew. So he believes in this crash retrieval program. Ross commends America's Constitution. He's in Australia, by the way. And he supports this idea of revelation to the public, but then there's people holding back. He calls out the Gang of Eight, which is basically all the ranking people of the Congress and intelligence. They get briefed from the president. It's sort of an accountability thing so that the president just doesn't have all the secrets. Wikipedia told me that George W. Bush's warrantless surveillance of American citizens was briefed to the Gang of Eight, right? And they never told anyone. So it's like, you know, it's an elite little secret club, right? Leslie Keen, she went on record saying she's heard this same exact story that Grush has been talking about. So all these were people all plugged into all these insiders, okay? Leslie Keen, of course, the New York Times reporter that broke the 2017 story that was confirmed in 2020 by the Pentagon. They talk about the secret program funded by taxpayers and how it's been kept secret from the Congress. Of course, you already know that. That's what he says in the interview. But he says that a lot of these oversight committees are supposed to know these things, and they're not. Even the presidents have been denied briefings on these crash retrieval programs. And how the programs refer to the sitting president as a temporary employee. You know, and Ross is like, that's some arrogant nonsense, right? My beef that I had with Grush, they ask him how many of these crashed objects are there, and he's like, quite a number. And I'm like, that's a pretty vague, stupid response, right? Well, apparently Grush doesn't want to reveal the exact number because he's concerned that our adversaries could use that information. Fair, all right? And Ross points out how there's been this secret Cold War between Russia, China, and U.S. to see who can master the technology first. That's apparently what's going on, according to him. Then they pull out some the pilots from the Tic Tac, from the Nimitz. They pull out skeptics like Mick West, who says it's all fake news. Says Grush isn't lying. He's in the camp that I suggested. Like, Grush isn't lying, but it could very well still not be true. Michael Schellenberger's interviewed, and he heard a similar story claiming that there are, in fact, over 12 craft in possession. Then they talk about the Las Vegas story. Yeah, I wanted to hit on that real quick. I don't know if you've seen it. It blew up a couple days after it happened. But in Las Vegas, a family called the police because an object crashed in their backyard and they saw 10-foot aliens. And this crashing object from the sky was, in fact, captured on body cameras, police body cameras. The family says they saw the men in black show up. The family has video. I critiqued it. I said, why didn't they get a phone? Of course they got a phone. And they did, in fact, record it. You can find the recordings on, I saw it on TikTok. Is it the clearest footage? No, but it was nighttime. Can you clearly see aliens? No, but there's lots of theories and people claiming that you can. I mean, it's some of the videos are fairly believable. Like, I was like, damn, that does look like an alien. But I mean, you can't really tell. And what's really interesting is that the police, they actually showed up to the house with the body cams to go in the backyard to investigate. They won't release that footage because of the privacy of their backyard. Doesn't even make any sense. But the Las Vegas thing is fascinating, so I'm glad to see that the family released the videos. But they're not very conclusive. But they say you can see it, so take a look for that. Now, in conclusion, let's wrap it up. At first, I thought this was slightly odd, this News Nation channel breaking the story. I looked it up. Apparently, this has been around since the 70s, so maybe I'm just clueless. But I had never heard of News Nation, and neither did a lot of people. A lot of people said, where am I supposed to watch the interview? I said, I don't even know. I had to look it up. Luckily, on my old school cable box, I was able to find the channel. And in fact, Grush said he's not being paid by News Nation, so that's reassuring. But I ultimately always think, like, why didn't you break this to CNN or Fox News or New York Times? Like, it's interesting they would sit down with News Nation. But maybe it's because of Ross, because Ross is plugged into the UFO community. So, I don't know. Let's talk about the agreement, all right? The agreement that he talks about, how the American government has an agreement with the aliens. This is an old school UFO conspiracy theory. I myself first read about it in Behold a Pale Horse. Bill Cooper mentions the Majestic 12. That's the name of the group that supposedly has this agreement with the aliens. If you go to Wikipedia, I'm going to read you from Wikipedia. Cooper then claimed that Eisenhower had established an inter- because Eisenhower set up the agreement, right? He claims that Eisenhower had established an inner circle of Illuminati to manage relations with the aliens and keep their presence a secret from the general public. Cooper believed that aliens manipulated and or ruled the human race through various secret societies, religions, magic, witchcraft, and the occult, and that even the Illuminati themselves were unknowingly being manipulated by them. Now, I wonder if he didn't get that idea from the Book of Enoch, which I'm going to do a show one of these days. I need the world to calm down for just a second so I can focus and get it knocked out. I'm almost done with it. Same with my Hoover Dam Part 3. I bought the book. I bought this $120 book from the architect, Oscar Yaniger, and I'm going to tell you what's in it. Now, the big two, the presidents behind the golden age of ufology here, we're talking Harry Truman and Dwight Eisenhower, 1945 to 1961, back when UFOs were super hot. Which, oh, by the way, on Twin Peaks, which, if you're not following, the sheriff's name is Harry Truman, I believe it's related to the alien technology stuff. Now, the National Archives, apparently they posted some documents related to these presidents and their UFO stuff, and this is where it gets fuzzy, because allegedly there was a document in Truman's library that had this September 1947 memo, of course, just a couple months after Roswell, signed by Truman directing the Secretary of Defense, James Forrestal, to create Operation Majestic 12 to dig into Roswell. And apparently this document doesn't exist. It's not there. It never was. Blah, 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 right? And this is where Bill Cooper and some others have claimed is the origin of this whole thing, is there's an actual document out there. There's a lookalike document, but people say that's not legitimate. That's a fake. Whatever. Now, Eisenhower, allegedly, while he was president, he would go to Edwards Air Force Base to look at aliens, look at the craft, have meetings with them, negotiate the agreement terms. And this claim came about from a prominent ufologist, Tim Good, a legend, wrote many alien books way back in the 80s and such. Apparently, he's part of the original MJ-12 theorists, right? He said that Eisenhower had three meetings with extraterrestrials in New Mexico at Holloman Air Force Base, which is basically White Sands, New Mexico, a massive area that contains the Trinity site where they first tested the atomic bomb, again, Twin Peaks, and Alamogordo and all this stuff. Now, I saw his granddaughter, Laura Eisenhower, she does a show. She's got a huge YouTube channel. And she's had guest Marisa on here. Shout out to Marisa Acacella. We had her on here a couple years ago. Laura Eisenhower believed this to be true. That's his own granddaughter. She seems like good people. But the claim means that we've made an agreement. And the agreement, this is where it gets even fuzzier. The agreement is that the aliens will give us technology in exchange for their ability to abduct humans and conduct experiments, because they're interested in our DNA as the building block of, I don't know, life forms. But again, all these documents alleged to be complete bogus nonsense. I don't know. Who knows what's real anymore, right? Now, Ross went on another interview. I retweeted the clip. Apparently, Grisha's home since this, not the interview aired, but since this started getting popular, his home was broken into, and he's been under surveillance and being harassed and all this stuff. And that was his whole complaint with the whistleblower thing, was saying, like, hey, I'm getting harassed, so I got to blow the whistle. Another topic we didn't really get into, but the Vatican apparently knows more about UFOs. This is mentioned on the interview, but only on a need-to-know basis. He says there's a red flag about how there's a Vatican astronomer was saying that Christianity is not necessarily unaware of aliens, right? And if you listen to, I interviewed Diana Pasulka a couple years ago in 2020, but she, in her book, goes to research the Vatican archives with Tyler, right? With the idea that some of the saints have maybe parallels in common with alien visitation or phenomenon, i.e. Lady of Fatima, okay? So it's all very interesting. And recall that in the first part of this, Grush, the last week's show, we talked about how Italy is where that 1933 crash happened, where Fermi, who figured out the nuclear science, may have got the technology. I don't know. And then again, that's a massive rock to look under there when we start talking about the Vatican. By the way, I heard that Ross is friends with Diana Pasulka. I said, oh, small world. Okay. Now, in conclusion, I'm not opposed to the idea that this is going to be a whole thing. This whole whistleblower thing, let's look into it. I'm not opposed to it. If I put on my very skeptical conspiracy hat, I start thinking of Project Bluebeam. I start thinking of the timing being very absurd. Just so happens, after all these massive disclosures since 2020, all of a sudden now we have a whistleblower talking about these crash retrieval programs going way back 80 years. Seems a little strange, right? And it's almost like maybe the powers that be want this message out there, and that's why they spoon-fed the information to him, and he's revealing it to the public, because there's a way that they can control the message a little bit. Whereas Bob Lazar, who had a very similar message, he was too much of an independent agent. Maybe he was too much of a free bird. And we got to discredit this guy. Whereas this Grush guy, maybe he's more of a team player. Apparently he is, because he's out here saying, like, look, I can't tell you the specifics, because he's an America First kind of guy. And, you know, I'm a pretty patriotic guy too, so I get that. But it does leave a lot of strange questions, right? And the final takeaway for me, I think it's very fascinating how this seems to be the first credible, I don't know, witness, whatever you want to call it, that tied it into quantum physics. Because that's exactly the point I'm trying to get across in my two alien books. The quantum physics angle. It's there. I think they know more about it. I think it ties into the realm of the occult. What do you think? So there you go. That's the actual interview. Of course, stay subscribed to the show and leave a good 5-star review if you like the show. And if you love the show, get in the VIP section for $2 using promo code CHERRYPIE, all one word. And you'll get in for $2 and you'll get a copy of The Dark Path, my most popular book. You'll get a copy of Kubrick's Code, where we talk about Stanley Kubrick movies. You'll get the ad-free feed of the show. You'll unlock 170-plus bonus episodes from the past. You'll get every bonus episode from the future. You'll be part of the Twin Peaks Grey Lodge crew. And don't hold me to it. I'm going to try to find a way to print some shirts. Some Twin Peaks shirts. I'm so obsessed with this damn show. I don't know what to tell you. I'm losing my mind. It's consuming my every thought. So stay tuned for all that. Stay subscribed. Oh, and follow me on the Instagram, because I'll be flexing on the Instagram when I get these shirts done. When, I don't know, 6 months from now. It takes me forever to get anything done, okay? I'm a one-man show. So thanks for your support. Till next time, stay woke.